as we left off yesterday, spent most of the shiur trying to resolve the apparent contradiction between two Gemaras. The basic question being, do you ever reach a point where we no longer have to be concerned with mitzvah bavi avera? So in the Gemara in Rav Kama Daf Tzadi Dalet, the Gemara quoted the Rav Eliezer about the person who steals the sashachit and tetzers into bread. So in that context, so the Gemara said that it's a problem, there's an issue, you can't make a bracha on it, something like the Rambam, you can't make a bracha on it. And the Gemara said that even if you hold that Shini is Koni, you still can't make a bracha on it, because mitzvah b'avera still continues, even after the point of Shini Koni. The problem was, that the Gemara in the beginning of the third bracha sukkah seems to say, that once you're Koni b'shinui, then everything's okay, you can be Yotei Dal Minim, even though one of the problems that prevented you from being Yotei Dal Minim was mitzvah b'avera. So the Gemara in sukkah sounds like, that post Shini Koni there's nothing to be worried about. So how do you resolve that? So we saw 2 days in Taisus. One day in Taisus was the Gemara Bava Kama was left off, which is Derech Dichu B'Alma. The real Gemara that matters is the Gemara in Sukkah. Then we saw the other day in Taisus that said that no, the standards for regular mitzvah of Avera are different than the standards for brachas. One sukkah is brachas, one sukkah is regular mitzvah of Avera. And then we saw the Ravid yesterday. He said no. The Ravid said that maybe the whole mitzvah of Avera doesn't apply here for technical grounds because you weren't the Goslin. The whole Gemara in Sukkah wasn't even addressing mitzvah of Avera. But if and when you were the Goslin and there really is a problem with mitzvah of Avera, then you have a problem even post Shini Koneh. Those are the three different approaches that we had yesterday. At the very end of the Shia, we mentioned the Balamor. Now we have to understand the Balamor's approach to the Sukkah. So comes the Balamor and says that we totally missed the boat in the sugya in the beginning of the third bracha of Masechta Sukkah. We thought that there were two problems. We thought there was a problem of Lachem and there was a problem of Mitzvah Bavi Avera. So just as the Ravid yesterday told us that we missed the boat because we added on a problem that doesn't exist, we were learning the whole sugya and Sukkah vis-a-vis the issue of Mitzvah Bavi Avera, which the Ravid told us we were wrong. Says the Balamor, we're wrong for much more fundamental reasons than the Ravid. We're wrong not because of a technical glitch that there happens to be Yonat the Goslin. You know why we were wrong? Because we put a sugya in that doesn't exist altogether. Says the Balamor, that entire sugya, B'chilu B'yatsoif, from the third part, not literally B'chilu B'yatsoif, but that entire part of the sugya about post-Shinoi, post-Shinoi Rishus, post-Shinoi Shinoi Shem, and the whole Bochad Gaj in the Gemara was all working with the assumption that we don't accept Mitzvah Bavi Avera. There never was a problem. It doesn't exist, Mitzvah Bavi Avera. There's only one reason why you can't be Yotzei the Lulav HaGozel. And what is that? Because it's not called Lachem. That's the only issue. That's all there is right no more. If so, if the only problem is a chisaron of Lachem, then that makes a lot of sense, that Shini Koneh is going to overcome that. That you don't need rocket science to figure that out. If the whole issue is not called yours, Shini Koneh changes in the Dini Mamonos. Now it's called yours. You just have to pay him the cash. But then it's called you. It's called Lachem and finish. End of discussion. So comes the Balamor and says there's only one issue taking place in the third part of Sukkah, and that's a chisaron, potential chisaron of Lachem. I would have to mitzvah of Avera. Never heard of it. Never heard of such a thing. Says the Balamor, who says we accept mitzvah of Avera? Who says we accept mitzvah? The Gemara said at the beginning of the third part. The Gemara says Pemolei that there are two reasons why you're not yaitzei with Lulav HaGozel. We didn't make this up. I mean, I've made up a lot of things for you guys over the years. I didn't make this up. The Gemara says it explicitly. Of course, there's a dual problem. So what led the Balamor to believe that somehow we can look at the Gemara about Shini Koneh, third Pekel Sukkah, through new eyes, and ignore Mitzvah Bavi Avera, say it doesn't exist, and that's why Shalom Yisrael, that's where we're home free. So what the Balamor is in effect doing for us is making a Machlekes HaSugyas. He's saying some Sugyas were worried about Mitzvah Bavi Avera, and others weren't. How the Balamor knows? It's Ruach HaKodesh to figure out what whenever we want, we just plug in Mitzvah Bavera when we want it, when we don't want it. Says the Balamor, just learn Lulav HaGozel when you figure it out on your own. Says the Balamor, there is a machloikis that's permeating the whole first daf of Lulav HaGozel. A very basic fundamental question. Do we subscribe to the halachic principle of Mitzvah Bavera or not? Is that such a cheshbon? Is that something we have to reckon with in halacha not? Is there a psul for Mitzvah Bavera? Says the Balamor, don't blame it on me. I didn't make up that it's a machloikis. Let's learn the sugya together. Okay, so we'll take the Balamor's word for it. Let's learn the sugya. So comes the Gemara in the beginning of the third bracha of Masechta Sukkah and tells us there is no question that a lulav HaGozel on the first day of Sukkot you cannot be yaitzei with. I don't need mitzvah. I don't need anything. It's not called lachem. That's simple. What about on the third day of Sukkot? What about on the sixth day of Sukkot? Rosh Hashanah Rav. After the first day of Sukkot, where clearly there is no din of Lochem, Lukachdem Lochem, there's no such thing as Lochem after the first day, nothing to discuss. On the third day of Chol HaMoed Sukkot, I want to know, can I be Yotze with a Lulav HaGozel or not? Lulav HaShol, for sure, I can't even Lechatchila. Can I be Yotze with a Lulav HaGozel? That's my Shaila. So come the Amoroyim and have Machlokes. First daf, and Lulav HaGozel, have Machlokes. One man, the Yomer, says, yeah, Mitech She Yotze B'Shol, Yotze B'Gozel. And the other man, the Yomer, says, no, you're Yotze with Shol, because Shol is only Chisaron of Lachem, which doesn't exist after the first day, but Gozel, you're not Yaitse because of what three bad words? Mitzvah Bab Yadeira. So herein lies the sugya, says the Balamor. What is the Nekudas of Machlekes? What are they fighting about? One of who remembers the name of Zamarim? Okay? So Alulav, Hagozel, Biyayim, Sheni. Now Yom Sheni, please, B'nei Chutz Laaretz, please don't think that Yom Sheni means the second day of Yom. Yom Sheni means it's Chol HaMoed onwards. Okay, Lulav goes by Yom Sheni. Is it kosher? Is it possible? Rabbi Yochanan says it's possible because he gives a reason. It's a Rabbi Avera, and Shmuel says it's kosher. There's only that's not clear about Shmuel. He doesn't explain why it's kosher. What happened to Rabbi Yochanan's reason of Mitzvah Bab Yadeira? So comes the Balamor in one fell swoop and says, you know what the Nekudas HaMachlokes between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan is? Is there an institution called Mitzvah Bab Yadeira or not? Rabbi Yochanan was Mechadish Mitzvah Bab Yadeira. Shmuel is an Amori, he's allowed to disagree. He denies Mitzvah Bab Yadeira. There's a running Machlokes Amoraim. Finish. End of discussion. Comes the Balamor and says, and now, we want to know Lamaisa. How should we paskin? Should we say that Lulav HaGozel B'Yom Sheni is possible of Mitzvah Bab Yadeira? Look at the Hemshech HaSugya, says the Balamor. The next 20 lines of the Gemara is Tarhakaras of the Chaynik with the Avankaris, the guys who are chopping down the Hadassim, and in the air. And the Gemara keeps on saying, as long as you're Kona, you're home free. As long as you're Kona, you're home free. As long as you're Kona, you're home free. Correct the Balamor. What do you mean you're home free? How does being Kona affect Mitzvah Bab Yadeira? Mitzvah Bab Yadeira, I'm sorry, how could being Kona affect Mitzvah Bab Yadeira? Being Kona can affect what? Being Kona can affect Mochem, but it can't affect Mitzvah Bab Yadeira. What happened to Mitzvah Bab Yadeira? What's the answer to that question? So what's the answer? It doesn't exist, because all the later Amoraim are clearly siding with Shmuel. So comes the Balamor with a 1-2 punch. He says, first of all, I'm telling you that the Nekudas HaMachlokes Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan was, does Mitzvah Bab Yadeira exist or not? That's point number one. And point number two, catch this one, says the Balamor, we paskin l'halacha, like who? Like Shmuel. If there's no such thing as Mitzvah Bab Yadeira, proof positive we paskin like Shmuel, because the Hemshech HaSugya, the whole Ishtaush HaSugya, the whole continuation of the Sugya, being done, legabe shinui, solving a problem, shinui can only solve the problem if there is no problem of Mitzvah Bab Yadeira in the first place. That's how the sugya reads according to the Balamor. According to the Balamor, similar to the Ravid, the Gemara in Lulav HaGozel is not addressing the issue of shinui kona affecting Mitzvah Bab Yadeira, because Mitzvah Bab Yadeira is not a player. According to the Ravid, it's not a player for limited reasons because you didn't steal. According to the Balamor, it's not a player because of what? Much more serious reason, because it doesn't exist. It's not a player b'chlal. It's not even on the team. It's not even in the league. But in terms of conceptually, it's the same type of approach to the sugya of sukkah, is to take Mitzvah Bab Yadeira away from the sugya of sukkah, make it only an issue of lachem, thus explaining why shinui kona solves lachem problems, but shinui kona can never touch Mitzvah Bab Yadeira. Lu yitzuya Mitzvah Bab Yadeira is a cheshbon, either according to the Ravid, if you stole it, or according to the Balamor, if you accept that view of Mitzvah Bab Yadeira. Can shinui kona change anything? Absolutely not. Which is exactly what it says where? Where does it say this? Pemale. That if and when you accept Mitzvah Bab Yadeira, shinui kona is not going to change that. Where does it say that? Bava Kama, the Tzai Dalam Abbas. Right? When the Gemara says, no, shinui is kona, nafa bichin, you can't do because Batzei Berech Nietz Hashem, i.e. Mitzvah Bab Yadeira. So it is the Mahalach of the Balamor. So at the end of the day, everybody say, we have how many different Mahalachim? 4 different Mahalachim in the Rishonim. About how to resolve this issue. How come on the one hand, the Gemara in Bava Kama seems to say, Le'acha Shinui, Mitzvah Bab Yadeira disappears, whereas, instead of erasing everything, Le'acha Shinui, Mitzvah Bab Yadeira disappears, whereas in Bava Kama seems to say, Le'acha Shinui, the Mitzvah Bab Yadeira is still very much an issue that we have to reckon with. So four Biurim in the Rishayim. Well, the first Dan Taisus was that this Gemara in what? The Gemara in Mechamis Lav Dafka. Second Taisus and Taisus is the Gemara of Mechamis talking about Bracha, it's not really talking about Mitzvah Beveira. The third Malach is the Ravid who says that no, there was no issue of Mitzvah Beveira here on pure technical grounds because you weren't the Goslin. According to the Malamor, there's no Mitzvah Beveira because we happen not to accept Mitzvah Beveira. It is clear that which the Baal HaMor did so easily, so simply, by just making a machloek Yishmul and Rabbi Yochanan, and thereby using it to alleviate all the problems that Tosfos couldn't get around and had to be deichet with, all kind of different terutzim, Tosfos didn't go down this route. Rabbi said a big difference between how they learned the sugya in northern France and southern France. Same country. Tosfos learned northern France, Baal HaMor lived in southern France and Provence. There were different worlds, not just culturally different worlds, but geographically different worlds. In Lomdus, there were different worlds here. They were looking at the sugya radically different. Why didn't Taisus go down the route of Baal HaMor? It's so much easier. You know, Taisus got stuck with taking a Gemara Bava Kama, throwing it out the window, taking a saying there's a new halacha, there's a brisket Taira, there's a mitzvah Aveira, there's a betzaneya, it's different standards. The Baal HaMor is glad, it's so easy, it's so simple, it's the easiest of all the pshatim. It's the simplest pshat, the Baal HaMor. How come nobody else went down the route of the Baal HaMor? Well, we know there's machlokes, we know there's machlokes of Amoraim, we know there's machlokes of Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, right? Okay. So you're picking up on the textual part that the Baal HaMor's pshat is forcing us to almost, you know, take a Stam Gemara in the third Brech of Sukha and say, oh, by the way, that Stam Gemara is only Shmuel. Oh, and by the way, that Stam Gemara of Kam is only Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, I can hear that. Is there another reason why? Why Medav Yisharim had great difficulty with the Baal HaMor? Baal HaMor had a tremendous assumption. And again, whenever you see a pshat and a rishon, you know, sounds very inviting, sounds very enticing, but there's some fundamentals in here that has to be challenged. What is the premise of the Baal HaMor? The Baal HaMor is assuming that the Nekudas of Machlokes din Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan is this very point, namely, is there mitzvah b'aveira? Or is there no such thing, no such entity, no such animal called mitzvah b'aveira? That's the Baal HaMor. Baal HaMor's pshat either survives or fails based on that premise in the Machlokes. If that is not what the Nekudas of Machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan Shmuel is about, if you cannot pin on Shmuel the denial of mitzvah b'aveira, Shmuel's entire premise is that mitzvah b'aveira doesn't exist, never existed under the sun. If that fails, if there's something problematic with that assumption, then everything that emanates from that assumption is going to be wrong as well. So Rabbi say, I can tell you without any hesitation why Taisus didn't buy into the Baal HaMor's pshat, because Taisus l'shitasam didn't buy into the Baal HaMor's understanding of the Machlokes Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. What was the Machlokes Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan according to Taisus? Anyone see the Taisus in the Maamar Kamos? Or not in the Maamar Kamos? Was it on the Maamar Kamos? Probably not. Okay, but it should have been. No, anyone got a sukkah for me? Lama with Aleph? It's such a short taisus, I figured you guys look at it. It's only like five words. Lama with Aleph. Little taisus. Teeny weeny weeny taisus. When Shmuel says his famous words, Mitoshi Yotzi B'shol Yotzi B'gozel. So according to Baal HaMor, what's he really saying? Translate. I deny mitzvah Babi Avera. That's what the Baal HaMor learns pshat. Says taisus. Mitoch sheyotze b'shol yotze b'gozel, hocha dafka shehu midrabanan lo chayish hamitzvah babi aveira. What does he say? He just said chalila the chalila that somebody should deny mitzvah babi aveira. Who would ever deny it? Mikari amuna. How can you deny? Okay, how can you really deny mitzvah babi aveira? People deny kari amuna also. How can you deny mitzvah babi aveira? It's not on the radar screen. You know what Shmuel said? Shmuel was talking about a very specific mitzvah. He was talking about lulav b'yom sheni. What does lulav b'yom sheni mean? Who instituted the mitzvah of lulav b'yom sheni? Why are you shaking a lulav on the third day Chol HaMoed for? Because the Mishnah says, Hiskei Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, in the good old days, Nebuchadnezzar, Manchev, Eskid, Shaykayim, So lulav is nitol yom echad, v'kach lecham yom erishon, but the mikdash is ayin yom. V'snach tov neshem v'kach shivas yom. V'shechar beis the mikdash, shiskid Rabbi Yechon medzakai, shehei lulav nitol kol shivas eich lemikdash. Rabbi Yechon medzakai was mesakai mid the rabbanon, that you have to take a lulav the whole week. It's a mitzvah mid the rabbanon, it's a much slower level mitzvah. So comes Taisus and says, you want to know why Shmuel denies mitzvah aveira? Not because Chalil denies mitzvah aveira entirely. He denies the application of mitzvah aveira here because it happens to be only a mitzvah midrabanan. So Shmuel holds that mitzvah midrabanan, they weren't machmir mitzvah aveira. The nekudas of machlokes Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan is not as dramatic as according to the Baal HaMor. It's a very limited machlokes. Everybody agrees that mitzvah aveira exists. And everybody agrees that lulav after the first day is dirabon. Machlekes is, should we institute this din dirabon or mitzvah b'veira on Yom Sheni or not? Called the tikkun rabbanan came. There is a tikkun, should we say it, should we not say it? So you have to figure out what the nekudas of machlekes is. But one thing it's not Baal HaMor territory. That's for sure not. Because to deny mitzvah b'veira is not even on the radar screen according to Tosfos. According to Tosfos, that even Shmuel doesn't really deny mitzvah b'veira. Even Shmuel on the first day has to rechon mitzvah b'veira. So the whole Baal HaMor's pshat fails now. Because what would the Amoraim say? The Amoraim were saying to the guys who were chopping off the Hadassim and saying, make sure you have Shinikoyne. Just make sure Shinikoyne, then you're okay, then you're home free. How are you home free? Don't they have to be Yotze when? On the first day also. How are you going to be home free? How's it going to solve the problem? According to the Baal HaMor, it's going to solve the problem because there is no problem with Tzabab Yaver, even on the first day, according to Shmuel. But according to Tosfos, even according to Shmuel, there's a problem with Tzabab Yaver on the first day. Shmuel only disagreed on subsequent days. So you can't go down the Baal HaMor's pshat. Tosfos Lashitosim couldn't possibly go down the Baal HaMor's pshat. So let's push the Machlekes back now. Let's push the Sugi back. So we got Tosfos got the upper hand. What was Tosfos assuming in their pshat in the Machlokes Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan? Tosfos was assuming something. They learned. They didn't learn like the Baal HaMor. They refused to go down the route of the Baal HaMor. They went down their own merry way, their own pshat. The Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan were arguing about the details of a mitzvah derabanan. Do you say mitzvah derabanan or mitzvah derabanan or not? What was Tosfos assuming? That's highly questionable. What? What point? What do you mean? It's what? No, I didn't say what mitzvah. But where is the rabbanan? I'm talking about, do you apply the rule of mitzvah there to mitzvahs to rabbanan? So Tosfos said, lulav hagozel b'yom sheni is only a mitzvah. Yom sheni, everybody knows it's only a mitzvah to rabbanan. Never a question about that, says Tosfos. Machlekes mishtama is, that mitzvah apply to mitzvah d'rabbanan does not apply to mitzvah d'rabbanan. That's how Tosfos learns the Gemara. That pshat in Tosfos, which gets the whole ball rolling according to them, is also working with an assumption. The assumption is that lulav goes to be yom sheni, that yom sheni is mitzvah d'rabbanan. Can anyone disagree with that? They don't want to disagree. I just read you a Mishnah. The Mishnah just says v'shehiskin v'shechabes v'shehiskin v'yachim v'zach. It's a din d'rabbanan. Can anybody argue with that? No, it's a din derais in the Beis HaMikdash. What are you saying?
So in the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't the Beis HaRabbanan.
Means when the Gemara has a discussion about lulav b'yom sheni, in the beginning of lulav hagozel, yom sheni where? Yom sheni when? What period of history is the Gemara talking about? Is the Gemara talking about yom sheni of Zman HaMikdash? Or is the Gemara talking about yom sheni of Teaneck, New Jersey? Which one is the Gemara talking about? So Tosfos was assuming there's a davar pasha. Whenever the Gemara says yom sheni, that's a dead giver. It's a key phrase for mitzvah derabanan. That's referring to post hakonas Rabbi Yochanan and Zakeh. That's what Tosfos learns, and therefore Tosfos was free to learn. Oh, the machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Shmuel was about mitzvah by mitzvah derabanan. If Tosfos is wrong on that assumption, if yom sheni doesn't mean mitzvah derabanan, but rather yom sheni means b'mikdash midaraisa, and still what? If Yom Sheni means a mikdash deraisa, and still, what does Shmuel say? What does Shmuel say? Even though it's a deraisa, what does Shmuel say? Mitach sheyotz b'shal yotz b'gozel. What is Shmuel in effect saying? That there's no mitzvah there, at all. Not just on derabanan, at all. So now, Tosfos pshat is only as true as their interpretation of what Yom Sheni means. If the Baal HaMor didn't go down the route of Tosfos, it's possible the Baal HaMor wouldn't go down the root of Taisus. If you reinterpret what Yom Sheni means, if Yom Sheni is referring to Bizman HaMikdash, so then, hey, and Shmuel says, there's no mitzvah of B'chlal, not even by Deraisis. Not even by Deraisis, there's a mitzvah of the Tilsul of HaMikdash. So Taisus is whole mahalach, every nikud of Taisus is now dependent one on another. The whole Taisus had a resolve of a Kama versus Sukkah was all assuming, because Taisus refused to go down the root of the Baal HaMor. The reason why Taisus didn't go down the root of the Baal HaMor because they had a different way of reading the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel. The reason why Taisus had a different way of reading it is because Taisus Tawat was convinced that Yom Sheni is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. I got news for you. Taisus has a lot of problems with the beginning of Parak Lulav HaGozel. Taisus has a peckle of problems because they learned the Mishnah, they learned the Sugya as Yom Sheni referring to in Tinek. You know what the problems are? Because there are stiras and gemaras, what the standards for Dalaminim are, this quote-unquote Yom Sheni. One place the gemara says one thing, one place says another thing. Taisus has a lot of learning. Lulav HaGozel, he's got to work really, really hard to try to figure out, because Taisus has got us really, really, really in a corner by defining Yom Sheni as a mitzvah d'rabbanan. I got news for you. The Ramban, the beginning of the third paragraph, says that we totally misunderstood. Taisus misunderstood what Yom Sheni means. Yom Sheni doesn't mean Yom Sheni of Rabbi Yechim and Zachai. Yom Sheni means Yom Sheni of the Beis HaMikdash. According to the Ramban, that Yom Sheni means Beis HaMikdash, and Shmuel still denies Mitzvah B'Aveira, that's much more in sync with the Baal HaMor's pshat than with Tosfos' pshat. So Rabbi Yisai, we're not learning Lulav HaGozel now, just want to highlight to you, when you learn the beginning, the first daf of Lulav HaGozel, you come to the realization that all these sugyas start to become interlocked with one another. How do you define Yom Sheni, which ultimately is going to affect how you learn the Pachlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel, which is ultimately going to affect whether you believe that there are some who actually deny Mitzvah B'Aveira? If you do, then you have a way out of the steer between the sugyas. If you don't, then you got to go fishing for Taisus' way out. Everything starts to become one big piece, one big puzzle together. No, because the Gemara is trying to say that the din of lachem only applies on the first day, even b'miktash. Even b'miktash, kach lachem b'yam rishon. U'smach to fesha b'kechem shem esyam, there's no din of lachem on that. Just as an aside, the last piece of the puzzle together, the Baal HaMor gained tremendously from his trap. Gained something in his back pocket by telling you that there's machlokes amarai, machlokes asugyas, and not everybody believes in mitzvah b'aveira. There's a tremendous benefit to the Baal HaMor to say that sometimes there are people out there who deny mitzvah b'aveira. And he answers the famous kasha from yesterday. No, what was the famous kasha? Come on, I said yesterday. The most famous kasha is Sukkot of Testament Aleph. Why do you need a pasuk? Tell me, schach pasul, schach gozel is pasul. Tape play that what? So who remembers yesterday? Because Chinuch went on a tangent, went on a shtickle teira from the Shpizim. Well, as a shtickle teira from Shimon to Rav Leizer Shacht. Everybody has what to say about this topic. And I'll tell you what. Because Chinuch wasn't the first one to ask the kasha. Taisus asked the kasha. Back on the testament off, and Sukkot Taisus asked the kasha. What happened to Mitzvah B'Aveira? Taisus gives their chidushim, their abundance, their rice. Everyone's got what to say about the topic. Everyone's got to say about the topic because everyone's assuming that Mitzvah B'Aveira is from the Ikar Yamuna. Everybody subscribes to Mitzvah B'Aveira. So now you have a Gavalt, a Gemara, Daf Tes. It's not applying Mitzvah B'Aveira. You got to scramble and figure out why not. So Minchas Chinuch gives his pshat, Taisus gives his pshat, and Mitzvah gives his pshat. Everybody's got a teretz to this kasha. There's one Rishon sitting in the corner in a little town in Provence at the ripe old age of 17 with a big smile. What's the Baal HaMor? You're going to ask me, Akasha, why the Amoraim with Aftesim and Aleph didn't say it's possible because the Mitzvah of Avera? That's the silliest Kasha ever heard. You know why? Because they're from the same team of Shmuel. They're all on the same side of those who never heard of Mitzvah of Avera. Mitzvah of Avera just does it. It's not as choshev as you thought it was. It's not really all it was cracked up to be. It's not. There's one day, Rabbi Yechon, Shemei Chai, okay. Shemei Chai, Yechon, okay, they're big people, but Tachlas, the Tashas and the Sugyas, deny Mitzvah B'Aveira. But Taisus couldn't say that. Taisus Daftes couldn't say that. Why? Because Taisus Daftes is L'shitasam in the Sugyas of Bava Kam. And Sukkot L'shitasam in the Daflamid. And Sukkot L'shitasam about how to define Yom Sheni. The Baal HaTais had one way of looking at the Sugya, and everything had to plow everything in its way. He had one way of learning the Sugya. The Tchila V'Yatzoif, And the Baal HaMor, fundamentally, radically, a different way of learning this sugya, the Baal HaMor said, don't ask me any kashas. Any Gemara that doesn't fit into Mitzvah of Aveira does it because Mitzvah of Aveira doesn't exist. And Taisa says, Chalila v'chalila. You can't mach back Mitzvah of Aveira. You have to explain why sometimes maybe it doesn't work. Maybe it's Pel Shinoi, maybe it's a Mitzvah Derabanan. Everything will give you a kvetch why it doesn't apply. Maybe Sukkah is different from Lulav. Every time you find an issue, a Mitzvah of Aveira doesn't apply, I'll give you a hachamai speed on why it doesn't apply. But the Baal HaMor says, no, you know, enough Hachamai Askinans leads you to believe, hey, wait a second, maybe this is what's taking place here. Yeah. It's like a general, you know, it's like a life, you know. Very often, you know, you have a certain theory about something, and you see a few kashas, right? Remember, you guys do this all the time, right? Right? I'm sure, Mr. Oldie, you got this in law, right? You have a certain theory, you have a certain mahalach, and this piece doesn't fit into the picture, and the other piece doesn't fit. So there are usually two different approaches in people. There are some people who, their theory just plows, but it doesn't matter. Aye, that's a fact against it. Yesh l'taretz, yesh l'chadet. And the others who wait, they see three, four, five, six different kashas. And wait a second, maybe we should go back and rethink. Maybe we got the whole thing wrong again. You know, it's like global warming. You know, global. It's a theory, and then you know every winter gets colder and colder and colder. So no, it really is global warming. But the teretz is, it's got to get colder first when it gets hot. Every time we get a shul teretz, and then somebody thinks, wait a second, maybe we got it wrong. Maybe it is maybe wrong. Time will tell. 4 billion years will tell. We'll figure out whether we're right or wrong. Okay.
I think we've been working with the premise that if I hold the mitzvah of Aveira, that I hold of the principle of Neitz Hashem, is it possible, now according to Baal HaMor, that Shmuel wouldn't hold of mitzvah of Aveira, is it possible that he could just reject the drasha for mitzvah of Aveira, but he could still hold of the principle of not making a bracha?
Maybe. Possible. I mean, he's going to take it totally out of the sugya, mitzvah of Aveira. Maybe. Could be. Because everybody say, let's get back to our main sugya, okay? Our main sugya was Motzei Aveira. I mean, we had to understand Mitzvah of Aveira because it's such a major component of the sugya. But within the sugya of Motzei Aveira, so we're back to where we started 2 days ago, on the Chalik Zeram with the Ravid, with the Rosh, the Kesavishta, how to read Agamara, with the Ketz Mevarach, not Ketz Mevarach. Bottom line is, when we say that you don't make, when you say brachas on stolen foods, or brachas on trade for foods, is that just the bemoaning of the fact that it's a terrible thing to make the bracha, but you still have to make the bracha? Or is it saying, no, you cannot make the bracha? Hilchos bracha dictates, this is Mishkin bracha, this is a niyutz. The goal of a bracha is to bless Hashem, not chalil, to do the opposite. So, but say, b'yach niyutz Hashem, don't make the bracha. What are you doing? It's a mamashah, it's the big head of bracha, but it's a niyutz rather than a bracha. So come to Beis Yosef, and write b'das atzma, b'das a Rambam. So, you know, according to the Rambam, when you have tray for food, so you can't make brachas and tray for food. That was the whole Rambam's theory, the Mishkin, the seventh type of brachas. You can't make brachas and tray. Says the Beis Yosef, what would the Rambam say if a person's eating tray for food in a situation where he's allowed to eat tray for food, where the halacha permits him, the halacha even mandates him, requires him to eat tray for food, i.e. he's sick. He's a chalash yesh b'sakona. He went to the doctor prescribed, he's got to have the velus, there's nothing else. He's got to have chaza, nothing else is going to save this person except for a piece of chaza, that's the way it is. So the din is, he has to do it. So says the Beis Yosef, what would you say? Should he make a bracha, should he not make a bracha? So the Beis Yosef says, mitam atzmo, it's hard to believe that he's not going to make a bracha. After all, that's the Hashem. That's what the Rosh Hashanah wants him to do. If you ask Moshe Rabbeinu, what should I do? Moshe Rabbeinu tells him what to do. The psak is he has to do it. Person eats a Yom Kippur. That's called the Motzei Birch Nitz Hashem. He's supposed to do it. They say from one of the Rebbes, I don't know which Rebbe, one of those stories could be any Rebbe, but one of the Rebbes says that there were 3 mitzvahs a year that he did, 3 mitzvahs achil that he did with simcha rabba, with azah simcha shal mitzvah. One was when he ate the kazayis matzah, one was when he ate the first kazayis in the sukkah, and he wasn't a well man, the doctor said he wasn't allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, so when he would eat on Yom Kippur, he would eat azah simcha rabba, hinni muchem zum l'shei mitzvah v'chai bohem. So you're going to say, no, but you can't make a bracha, because it's a b'tzei b'rech and it's Hashem. Doesn't sit right, says the Beis Yosef. The stomach, you can make a bracha according to the Rambam. Could we add a little bit to the Beis Yosef? Could we touch it up, not just say mistama? Could we say a little humdus even, so to speak? Oh, so obviously your initial reactions when you see this kind of a statement from the Beis Yosef is that, oh, this sounds like it's subject to our regular question we spoke about so many different times in the past, about how do you view the fact that Lamaisa, Mokom Sheyesh Pesakona, you're allowed to eat treifas. You're allowed to drive to hospital. You're allowed to do certain things. So how do you understand that? So yeah, do a first of a famous machlokes that we're showing him based on Zoom and other places. We have a clash, a conflict in halacha normally you're not allowed to do X, but in certain circumstances you're allowed to do it. So how do we view that? Do we view that as dechuya? Do we view that as chutzpah? Dechuya means that what you're doing is basically fundamental in your aveira, and we really should try to avoid it. If it's possible to avoid, you should really try whatever you can to avoid doing it. If push comes to shove, you can't avoid it, then nebuch, you have to do it and show it and finish. You don't have to clap a chayt for it, because at the end of the day, the Torah tells you you're allowed to do it, but it's not a davashel hefter, it's a davashel isser. I mean, that may sound a little bit contradictory, but it's a davashel hefter that the Torah tells you you're allowed to do. But it's fundamentally still called the ba'i sefer. What do I say now? That treifas is not treif. Treifas was given for healthy people, wasn't given for sick people. Shabbos was given for healthy people, wasn't given for a guy who has to get to the hospital. It's not Shabbos, it's Tuesday today. This is not Chazer, it's Mahadrim and Mahadrim. For me, not for you. It's considered to be a Dovra Mutter. So is ultimately are things that are Mutter B'Toras, Pekuach Nefesh, are they B'Toras, D'Chuy B'Toras Hutra. So if you would hold that they're B'Toras Hutra, so that would give us even more, you know, reason to believe that B'Toras is correct. It's not a Dovra Shalissar, it's Het Gomer what you're doing. And the emphasis is, even if you hold Tchuya, even if you take that side of Shabbat Tchuya, you can still argue, it's Tchuya, okay, it's quote-unquote a Ma'is Isser, but you can't say, but say a Berech Mi, it's Hashem on him. I mean, come on, that's a little bit too strong. So even if you don't go down the absolute longest road of Hutra, the Beis Yosef is probably right anyway. If you hold Hutra, then it's even easier, it's even better to understand what the Beis Yosef is saying. But notwithstanding what the Beis Yosef says, B'tam Atzma, he doesn't have a, Rambam doesn't say one or the other. In Rishonim, there are Rishonim who preceded the Beis Yosef who don't say this, albeit for slightly different reason. The Ritva, in Maseches Brachos, quotes from his Rebbe from the Ra'ah. For years, people thought the Ra'ah was the Mechaber of the Sefer Chinuch, and they realized, yes, it's probably not, but you know, still the Ra'ah. He was definitely the Mechaber of the Sefer Ben Kabayis, that we know for sure. It's a great Rebbe of the Ritva, Talmud Muvuk from the Ramban. So the Ra'ah says that he thinks if a person eats l'mashal on Yom Kippur, doctor says eat on Yom Kippur, says Ra'ah, doesn't think you should make a bracha. Not on Tzbotzei Berech Nes Hashem. That's a different reason. He says, brachas, what does the Gemara say at the beginning of the sixth prayer of brachas? Why do you make a bracha? Come on, Hashem. Also, Hanas Ra'ah was able to bracha. The Mechayev of the bracha is the Hanom in Olam Hazeh. Now, we spoke a lot in the summer, right? Everyone remembers? Din deraisa, din derabanan, pnei Yeshua, the Ritva, right? Taisa, first week of cold this past summer, okay? What's the nature of the din of Asa Lahanos? But at the end of the day, it's something to do with Hanoah. Zokta Ra'ah, Tanu Eloloima, unless the guy's the Chetir Shereb who's smiling, eating his people, you ever try to feed a Chal in Yom Kippur? You ever have to never deal with somebody who has to eat in Yom Kippur? It's a rough I've had in the past. It's impossible, because the person doesn't want to eat. I remember one year, I mamish, I was handing a cracker to the person who had whatever, with diabetes was an issue, and the blood sugar was dry. I was standing with a cracker with peanut butter on a cracker with a cup of grape juice, and shoving it down into their mouth. So the person's upset, they're angry, they don't want to eat. But what I did, you have no chaybahem. So it comes to his phone and says, what's this hanon? So you make a hanon on that. The person's so upset, you can make hanon, brichas hanon that, zishkin hanon. Imagine feeding the guy treifas, right? You say to him, listen, the doctor said you must have this piece of meat. You know, within the next 10 minutes, you can't find any kosher meat, you gotta eat the treifas quick, doctor's orders, right? That's what the joke prescribed, meat emergency. Okay, maybe not meat emergency, but, okay, you gotta eat the meat quickly, you're gonna die. So the guy said, why meat, eat treifas? I never eat treifas in my entire life. Ugh, it's disgusting, despicable. Forget, that's why somebody we shot him right. There's a famous rush in the end of the people close from a raven who says, what's the din if you have a chayla sheyesh persekan on Shabbos and the doctors prescribe meat and we don't have any meat? There's no meat. The only meat around is trade meat. We can check. So we can check meat and feed him the kosher meat. The only problem is the Shabbos. So the rabbi says, what should you do? Is it better that you should feed him the tray for meat, or is it better that you should shecht on Shabbos? So based on the regular rules of the chiyuv, what would we have said? Based on common sense, we would have said, what? He's a tray for tray, but there's more kal, tray is only a lav. So the Shabbos is in a skila. So the Rishonim don't say that. For a variety, each Rishon gives a different reason why. So many, many different reasons why the mice, that's not the din. So one of the reasons that's given is what? Who remembers what?
Be disgusted by
Because if you give the guy the tray, he's going to throw up. Somebody remember, I think the Ron writes it. He's going to throw up. He's going to be so disgusted by eating the tray for me, even though he knows he asked him. He knows that the rabbi says, listen, eat the tray for me, because otherwise you're making a shecht on Shabbos. The guy can't bring himself to eat tray for me. He's so repulsed by the tray for me. So that's what the Ritval says. So do we accept that svar of the Ritval? So in Shulchan Aruch, not really. In Shulchan Aruch, we paskin, like the Beis Yosef, not a big surprise, Shulchan Aruch paskin like himself, we paskin Shulchan Aruch that you do make a bracha on tray for food of eating it with Taras Sakana. We're not so concerned with that Ritva. Why are we not concerned with that Ritva? So maybe we don't buy into the whole Shavar. We say, at the end of the day, they were Masakan Brachas, but if you personally like it, don't like it, it doesn't have to do with anything. So the Ramah does quote the Ritva halfway. Ramon quotes, you know, brachas, so back in the case of the working days, he quotes as follows. We have a guy who's being forced to eat something, not because of medical reasons. He's being forced, someone corners him on the floor, they step out of him and say, you better eat this shawarma, better eat this food now. Perfectly kosher, everything. He doesn't want to eat. He's not interested in eating. He's on a diet. He's watched his cholesterol. He doesn't want to eat. And the guy shoves the food down. The mother shoves the broccoli down the kid's throat, shoves the spinach down. He's screaming, give me a candy, no, have the broccoli. So she says, make a bracha on the broccoli. So the Ramah says he should tell his mother back. No. Nope. So Shteit in Ramon, the name of the Ritva, that when someone forces you to eat, you don't make a bracha. Why? Because the Nishke Nana. It's not a Hana. And the Ramah paskens like that. The Ramah quotes this Ritva. He doesn't quote it from the Ritva. I don't think Ramah had a Ritva. He quotes it from Rav Meir, who's quoting it from a Ritva. It went through a few Gilgulim. But the Ramah ultimately quotes this din. That appears we have it already in the Ritvan Huchas Brachas. Ramah didn't have a Chedisha Ritvan Brachas, but the ultimate source for this is the Ritvan, the name of the Ra'ah. So the Ramah does quote it. So if the Ramah quotes it, so happen when the Shulchan Aruch says that you do make a bracha and eating on Yom Kippur, you do make a bracha when you eat treifas Makam Sakona. How come the Ramah doesn't disagree there? So what's the answer? The Ramah says that we accept fundamentally this yisoid of the Ritva, that achila ba'oines is not really called Hana. When someone's shoving food down the throat, when the kid's being shoved the broccoli down his throat, that's not called hana. But when the person's eating on Yom Kippur, so even though he really is hard of hearts, would much rather be inside and saying it's not a tekef, but at the end of the day, don't tell anybody, it tastes pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the rugelach is not so bad. Not so bad. Crack them, peanut butter with the grape juice, you know, okay, Baruch Hashem, you know, I'm getting sick, but I got it. So the Ramah is walking a tightrope here, and Mishayim, you don't find this. In the Ritvan self, the Ritvan, the Rahu, who made up the Svara, so the Bechamish the Svara, then Achil Ba'Oinis is Nishken Hana. So they took it and said it, not only if it's an Oinis, physical Oinis, but if it's a Halachic Oinis also. If the reason why you're doing it, the reason why you're uncomfortable doing it is because halachically you don't really want to do it, so to speak. So they accepted that as being an Achil Ba'Oinis to pass it from a Bracha. So the Ramah didn't go that far. But the Ramah met them almost halfway. Ramah says, we're going to take that spar and extract that spar and plug it into a case where there's a physical illness, with your mother shoving the broccoli down and throw, then tach, you don't make a bracha. One could argue the whole story. One could say, the whole thing is not true. Maybe the whole Ritva is not acceptable. But Lamai said, the Ramah met the Ritva halfway. But putting aside that Ritva with the Ramah and story, when it comes just in terms of our basic question of Tzeh Beirach, so we do accept the Beis Yosef's Pesha, we do accept what the Beis Yosef says, but that's the Rambam. Even though the Rambam says that you generally don't make brachas on trade for food or on stolen food, but the Makam Sakani you do, because ultimately it's not called a niyatz. Whether that means the razzle dazzle shtickle Torah of Hutra versus Bechuya, I don't know. You don't really need it. The Beis Yosef is probably correct anyway. Okay, so once again, these were all just rhyme of a little bit of a sugya that kind of snuck in here, you know, on Daf Vav Amud Beis. Hope everyone enjoyed this part of the sugya. Yeah. Right. Okay. So you mean you're trying to say there is a no? Physiological no. Okay. Maybe. That's the machlekes. No, who's that machlekes between? Me and Rav Nevinson. Right? As I take my cup of water, who remembers? No? The Mishnah says in Brachas that you only make a bracha on water when what? When you're thirsty, right? If you're not enjoying the water, you're not thirsty, you don't make a bracha. So for many years, I always assumed, they used to always ask me in Kolo, the guy's going on a hike. So the Chavesh tells the guy, everyone's got to drink 3 canteens of water before this hike starts, or else everyone's going to dehydrate. The guy's shoving down the water. The guy doesn't want to drink the water. Nobody wants to drink the water. So I used to tell guys, don't make a bracha. I said, that's not called Shel Samayim Letzamo. You're not thirsty. You're doing it for medicine. That's like shoving down a pill. And I took a pill this morning, so I took a little cup of water. Make a bracha. So I always thought that when you're drinking for just to prevent dehydration, you don't really enjoy it, you're not thirsty, then you wouldn't make a bracha. Then, later years, I saw in Rav Nevensol's notes in the Mishnah Berurah, he writes it's not true. He writes that drinking for to prevent dehydration is considered to be hanoah. Why? Because you're being nana, your body's not, you're not collapsing in the middle of darja. I don't know, Har Shlomo, whatever my crazy kids run off the summer at 2 o'clock in the morning, wake me up to get into the bus. That was off. It's just like how people know that. Okay, good. What? No, shosa like lerfua, let's say. Shosa lerfua means I'm taking a pill, right? The water's not doing anything for me except shoving the thing down. The original case, the guy's choking. He's choking on a bone, so he takes a cup of water. The water's not doing any hanoah. It's just it's hanoah, but that's not called hanoah saguf. It's just getting something out of the way. But Rav Nevensol Tain is when you're getting it's not called a nutritional value, but you're getting a physiological benefit. So he said that's called hanoah. What does hanoah just mean after the taste? Only the food taste is considered to be hanoah. That's the Rashba. Who remembers the Rashba from Kulin last year? Tom Kiker. Remember the Rashba? No, remembers? Who was in Yor Derby last year? Nobody? So the Rashba is a famous Kashi Masechus Chulin. The Rashba asks, on the one hand, we know there's a din of bitl barov. If you have a little chaza falls into a pot, so it's all bottle barov. But the Gemara says if you can still discern the taste of the chaza, then it's not bottle. That's what's called tam kikar. It's a frek to Rashba. But it's still bottle barov. Whether you taste it or you don't taste it, it's still five times as much kosher to a little bit of trace. So why does the tam make a difference? And the Rashba says, because when you can taste the food, so that's like you could see it. It's like nikar ha'issa. Whenever there's nikar ha'issa, you can't say bitl barov. So says the Rashba, why is it called nikar? I can't see it, I can just taste it. So the Rashba says, no, when it comes to food, it doesn't really matter what the food looks like. Because everybody knows, says the Rashba, you only eat food because it tastes good. But it looks good, doesn't look good. Don't tell it to the caterers. But the real reason why people eat food is because it tastes good. So says the Rashba, when it comes to food, so the characteristic of taste is more important than the characteristic of look. And the five senses in the body, so when it comes to food, taste is the characteristic of looking. So even though I can't see it, but I can taste it. That's what the Rashba says. So whenever we quote this Rashba, we always point out that the Rashba telling us that taste is the conveyor of food, not nutritional value. Very often there's an inverse relationship between the foods that taste better, not necessarily the ones that are good for you. But the Rashba is saying the conveyor of hanoah is called the taste of the food. That's like me. That's a Nevensol. Not exactly the same, but okay. Good. Okay, rest it. Next thing, and we're going to start the next thing. Okay.